This is THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Network. On-demand audio for the world of golf like never before. Welcome to The Dean Has Spoken with your hosts, JB and The Dean.
That intro means it's time for another episode of The Dean Has Spoken. This show is co-hosted by none other than THP staff writer extraordinaire Dean. And it can be found on the THP forum as well as on Twitter at Dean of THP. Welcome. How are you?
I'm good, Josh. Excited to be back to record another episode. And this is going to be another one of our special episodes tied around a big event. It's Ryder Cup week. I'm very excited to get this started.
The Ryder Cup does kick off in a couple of days. The Dean Has Spoken is a new twist on your on-demand audio in the world of golf. We'll be discussing equipment, tour golf, industry happenings, and anything else that strikes our fancy, with the key here being that the Dean of THP will always have the final word. Today we have a special show. We're going to be talking about the Ryder Cup, as the Dean alluded to, as well as the FedEx Cup playoffs that just wrapped up a couple of days ago. And we're going to finish it up with a contest that you are not going to want to miss. Are you ready to talk about one of your favorite events you've ever been to?
I am very excited. Like you said, I've been to it 2008, the last time the U.S. was victorious in the Ryder Cup. Hopefully that changes this weekend. One of the best sporting events I've ever been to.
Before we jump right into the Ryder Cup, let's talk a little bit about the FedEx Cup playoffs that wrapped up a few days ago. Rory McIlroy came from behind, won big amounts of money on a day that had a somber note later on, as we found out that the king of all golf had passed away. That's been talked about, and I don't want to spend a ton of time dealing with the somber notes. He's well missed. The memories are well regarded. Let's talk a little bit about Rory and coming from behind and winning.
Yeah, I mean, by now everybody has seen it and probably seen the shots leading up to it. Really, Sunday was a great culmination of the PGA Tour season. You know, during the week we heard that perhaps this tournament was a little bit forgotten about, you know, the Ryder Cup coming up the week after it, which will be in a few days. And, you know, there was all talk about the pick and what was going on outside of the world of golf. But inside the ropes, there was a heck of a tournament going on. We saw Dustin Johnson, who had a phenomenal year, get off to a good lead during the week. Him and Kevin Chappell, you thought it was going to be duel down the stretch between those two. Come to find out, really, it turned out to be Rory McIlroy, Ryan Moore, Kevin Chappell down the stretch. Rory hit some phenomenal shots. I mean, holing out for eagle on, what was it, 16. Seeing the excitement that he had when he did that, it really got the blood flowing as a viewer watching that and gets you ready for the Ryder Cup, you know, the playoff between him and Moore.
You kind of hit the nail on the head with when he holed out. That was the, I'll call it the shot heard around the world, for lack of a better term. Leading up to that, it was a duel, but I was looking at it as more like, well, despite Dustin Johnson not playing well, he's going to take home a satchel full of cash. And it, interesting comparison, speaking of the king no longer with us, in his career, I think he earned $2 million or so. Now, granted, inflation took place and Rory took home $13 million or so yesterday or a few days ago. So a little bit of disparity, and you know, there's been a lot, and Arnold Palmer is directly related, and everybody should thank him for the earnings being done. Nobody's done more for the game of golf than Arnold, you could argue. Look at the event, and it was kind of an afterthought, but it really drove me right in. It reminded me of the Olympics a little bit, where nobody was really talking about it, nobody seemed to care, and then the golf itself put on such a show, you were kind of brought in.
Yeah, the last few hours of it, I mean, there was football on, and while my team wasn't playing, I still enjoy watching the NFL games, just like a lot of other people, thanks to fantasy sports. But it was the golf that just really had my attention, because there was a lot of solid play going on. You know, first off, that course, it looks great on TV. You know, it's very picturesque. And then you had Rory McIlroy, you know, hitting some crazy shots. You had Ryan Moore holing putts from all over the place. And then, yeah, on top of that, neither of those two were leading down the stretch. You had Kevin Chappell, a guy who was trying to make the Ryder Cup team. He hasn't won in his career. And I think he's had, what, three runner-ups this year. You're watching him and you're like, man, his nerves are really holding up. And then he kind of faltered on the last couple of holes and let those other two guys really take over the tournament. It was too bad to see, but it was really captivating.
It was captivating. And it's kind of going back to our wonderful Hackies Award show. It's kind of ironic, I guess, you, for lack of a better term, to see Nike winning the FedEx Cup.
Not only that, you know, if you watch the playoff, you had Rory wearing Nike, you had Kevin Chappell wearing Nike, and you're just thinking to yourself, man, if only they were around to really capitalize on this, because Nike got a lot of airtime yesterday. And Paul Casey also shot a 64 yesterday. He got a lot of airtime during his round. So four of the top five guys were draped in the swoosh.
Now, you mentioned it a little bit during the first segment there. You were talking about people talking about the pick. And everybody was kind of wondering who the captain's pick was going to be for the Ryder Cup coming up in a couple of days. I was watching it and I'm following it, and everybody was talking about, well, it has to be Ryan Moore. It has to be Ryan Moore. You made a comment online that, well, we just watched him play match play and he lost. Now, granted, that was against Rory, and he held his own for a little bit there. But I didn't really understand the ramifications of the choice that DL3 was going to have to make, because none of the guys were what you would consider a lock to get in. And I made the kind of the comment a couple of weeks back that I think he should take Tiger Woods, because the Ryder Cup is kind of an exhibition, not to everybody, but it is. And nothing would be more to get the juices flowing than have Tiger make his comeback at the Ryder Cup.
And let's not forget, you know, it would make our jobs incredibly easy. I mean, Tiger Woods returns from injury at the Ryder Cup. I mean, that just sells itself right there. I don't know how serious, you know, he was in talks to play in this event. Could be something that, you know, just got built up. Thank you to Matt Kuchar for saying it would be legendary during his press conference. I think that's really got the snowball rolling a little bit for it. I would have liked to see it, but let's throw him out. We'll say he wasn't a legit contender for a pick. For me, it came down to three guys. Ryan Moore is one of them, Justin Thomas the other one, and Bubba Watson, you know, being that other guy. Yes, Bubba's form throughout the season, once he got from the West Coast, wasn't what we expected. He played well over the weekend at the Tour Championship and at BMW, you know, had a top 20. He missed the cut at Deutsche Bank and was tied for 13th at the Barclays. So his game was trending in a you know, a better way than it was during the summer. It's tough for me to say that there's a Ryder Cup points list throughout the year. And, you know, he was one spot away from being the automatic qualifier, and he's in the top 10 in the world, and he gets passed over. That's a tough pill to swallow. I think a lot of that people are saying, well, that's fine because it's Bubba Watson. He's a polarizing figure. He looks like he has a lot of fun, but he also has some temper issues, some anger issues, and might not be the most well-liked golfer. If that was somebody else,
that's an understatement.
I think if it was another player, people would be saying, look, this guy's in the top 10 in the world. He missed the points list by one slot. He deserves to be on the team. Ryan Moore, his form the last, you want to say, four or five tournaments, has been really good. He's, you know, obviously tied for second in the Tour Championship a couple of days ago. Top 10s in the Barclays and the Deutsche Bank, and he won the John Deere back in August. So he's not a bad pick. His game is there. He's a boring pick. And even how it was announced during Sunday Night Football, I understand passing of Arnold Palmer may have had something to do with that. But it was kind of like, and here's your Ryder Cup pick. It's Ryan Moore. And they go to commercial break. He was a boring pick. We'll see what happens. You know, my comment on the internet about him playing match play and losing to Rory, you know, it was kind of a tongue-in-cheek remark, but we did see that. You could see his nerves when he got to 18. He played 18 three times, and he hit the same exact shot off of that tee every single time, throwing it in the left rough and not even giving him a chance to go at that green in two. On the hole that he eventually lost it on, or we can say that Rory won it on, you know, he hit a good drive. He was in the fairway. He hit a really, really, we'll say, subpar second shot. And then he hit a chip shot that I hit a lot. He just bladed it through and then had to make a 25-footer to save par. Now, he did make the putt. All the credit to him. His putter was hot. But you could see the nerves were getting to him. He does have a good match play record in the Accenture and his Walker Cup records. Ricky Fowler had good Walker Cup records, and he's yet to win a full point in a match in the Ryder Cup. I'm a little worried about Ryan Moore.
Yeah, and we already have a Ryan Moore on the team. His name is Zach Johnson. Doesn't hit it very far, keeps it in play, good putter. I didn't mind the pick because I have nothing against Ryan Moore other than most of the weeks on tour he looks homeless. I just look at that the matchups and I say, I don't see how we're favored. And everybody keeps talking about it. Obviously, I get the home field advantage and I understand all that. I don't see it that way. I look at their team as incredibly tough, and I look at our team with some major, major question marks. I was glad to see Phil go fairly low in his final nine there. I think he went out with 29, but I see this as question marks. And if it were me personally, I wouldn't have gone Ryan Moore. I would have probably gone Bubba Watson, because like you said, why have the list? Why have the points if they don't mean anything after the number? I think you should just have the points to that number and then leave it up to the captains. But maybe Davis knows something we don't know. And I would say we are in the minority, because the majority of people on Sunday night were happy with the selection.
To me, the reaction that we saw yesterday was based on that tournament. Because let's face it, Ryan Moore, people weren't clamoring for Ryan Moore a couple of weeks ago when the three picks came out.
Well, they weren't clamoring for him when he won the John Deere either.
Exactly. And so it's really that instant reaction. And I think of it as, you know, today's age, watch a Masters and a great finish at the Masters, and it's automatically one of the best finishes in Masters history. Or outside of that, you talk about Super Bowls, close Super Bowls, and people automatically rank it towards the top. It's the short attention span. And, you know, Ryan Moore, yes, he played great over the weekend at the Tour Championship. I can't take that away from him. He played phenomenal. He almost won the tournament. He didn't win the tournament. And seeing him and Rory, I think it got the Ryder Cup juices flowing. And people are like, you know what? This is what we need. We want him in it. I don't know if I would have went his way. That course, Hazeltine, is a big course. I think the length that Bubba gives you off a tee gives you a tremendous advantage there. But we're stuck with Ryan Moore. And sometimes these picks have a way of working out. You know, 2008, Ian Poulter was looked at as a bad pick by Nick Faldo, and look what happened.
Ian Poulter's a bad pick every time for anything.
Except for the Ryder Cup, apparently.
Very true.
So, you know, he was looked at as a bad pick. Not to say Ryan Moore is a bad pick. Like we said, it's a boring pick. But Ian Poulter in 2008 was viewed as a bad pick by the Europeans, and he's turned into one of the best Ryder Cup players that we've seen in our time. So Ryan Moore could go out and have a fantastic week, and I hope he does, because I'd really like to see the U.S. win this event. But I still think I would have gone a different direction.
Now, in that last segment, we talked a little bit about Tiger Woods. And since our last show, he has announced his coming back, a couple of regular tournaments. And what do you expect out of him? Did you really think there was even a possibility of him playing at the Ryder Cup? And how ready do you think he would have been?
I kind of think he's ready. And I think that only because, you know, he's announced he's coming back for the Safeway Open. That's October 13th. So that's only, 2 weeks after the Ryder Cup. So I would think that his game has to be, if he's already announced he's coming back, he's got to be somewhat close to ready. But I don't think that I would have brought him back. And yes, people have said, look, you're bringing him back for a singles match. You don't need him to play in the other four matches. So then think of it this way. You're bringing Tiger Woods, a guy who hasn't hit a competitive golf shot in, 13, 14 months?
Well, and you can make the case he wasn't even really making competitive golf shots then either.
Exactly. So well over a year since he's hit a competitive golf shot, you're going to bring him into that pressure environment, and you're going to make him sit around and for a couple of days, not hit a golf ball on the course, and then you're going to put him out in a singles match, which could determine who wins the Ryder Cup. I don't think that would have been a good scenario for the U.S., and I don't think that would have been a good scenario for Tiger Woods.
I'll go the other way and say that I think he would have been fine playing one early match and then the singles match. Pair him with somebody who's straight off the tee, Zach Johnson, Ryan Moore obviously wouldn't be there, but somebody like that, and you have yourself a chance to maybe steal a point that you wouldn't have had. He's not a great Ryder Cup player, but he is a good match play player. And I'm a believer, and I know that U.S. fans and Euro fans get angry. I'm a big believer that this is nothing more than an exhibition for the betterment of the sport in multiple areas, and nothing would have been better than that.
It definitely would have kicked the excitement level up a notch. I think the excitement level for this event is at a really high point now, even though that the U.S. has kind of, let's just say, not been competitive, or, you know, we get it handed to us. We have years where it's close.
In recent history, I mean, granted, yes. The overall record is still heavily in the U.S. favor.
Oh, it is. But okay, so we'll go back from 99. Brookline, we've won two.
You just made me spill my drink, Dean.
from 1999, they've won two events. They had a close one in Chicago the last time that Davis Love was a captain, and they had a close one at the Celtic Manor. But outside of that, it's really been a Euro-dominated event.
Do you think they need to go back to the ugly shirts?
I hope they do. I know they're not doing it this year because we've already seen what's planned for the team. Maybe next year. You know, you could pull off the ugly style, I think, when you're on the road because you're over in Europe and sometimes the European style is a little bit different. So maybe we could pull off the ugliness over there.
I think we could. I mean, you got to go like full on crazy ugly shirt because that's what we won with. But, you know, I look at it going back to the Tiger Woods thing. Nobody really knows what we're going to get out of him. The last time we saw him hit some shots, he put some balls in the water and the thoughts online, you had the armchair quarterbacks everywhere and the ridiculous golf hacks everywhere talking about how he looked tender on his back. And this, it was all nonsense. He hit three bad balls, no big deal. He's Tiger Woods, but he set the bar for where he has to be. And if he comes out and misses a cut, I'll give you the foreshadowing of exactly what you're going to see. You will see his diehard fans be apologetic because he hasn't hit any competitive golf shots in a while. And you'll see the people who dislike him for no other reason than whatever reason they can conjure up that day saying how he's done and washed up and he'll never compete again. Somewhere in the middle is the reality and the objective point of view. And I hope people will be able to have a conversation about it because he is arguably the greatest to ever play.
Yeah, he is. And, you know, the last time he played out in this tournament, it was the Fry's Open. He started off with a 73 and then followed up with three straight rounds of 68. If he comes out and shoots a higher number or a high number in the mid-70s, I think there's going to be a lot of talk about him. Was he ready? There's going to be a lot of, like you say, there's going to be a lot of guys that are apologetic for him. But I think that he wouldn't announce that tournament if his game wasn't ready. So I really hope that it's close. He definitely took the time off. I know earlier in the year we started speculating on when he was going to come back. I don't think any of us named the Safeway Open as the landing spot. It's good to see him come back, announce it, and it's just going to be fun to see him out on the course, and hopefully he plays well because what we've seen from him the last few years, it's not been fun to watch. And like you say, he's arguably the greatest player ever. You could have that conversation. And to see him struggle with the chipping yips, not be able to, you know, hit the ball off the tee, have the shanks a little bit, it's been tough to watch. So I really hope he comes out and is at least competitive in this first event.
Well, I do as well, and we'll certainly see plenty of him on TV at the Ryder Cup as he's one of 916 U.S. vice captains.
You know what's interesting, Josh, and I was thinking about this earlier. So he's a vice captain at Hazeltine. He doesn't have fond memories of that course. I mean, Rich Beam, you know, he birdied the last four holes in the 2002 PGA for, you know, Rich Beam to get some birdies and an eagle down the stretch and nip him by one. And it was the last time we saw Tiger with a lead at a major. You know, he got Y.E. Yanged there and, you know, he lost that tournament, that major. So he doesn't have exactly the fondest memories of Hazeltine. I'm going to be interested to see how he does as a vice captain.
I tend to agree with you there. Now, switching to the actual Ryder Cup, let's talk a little bit about Hazeltine. What are your thoughts on the course? What do you see coming out? And what do you expect to see in the opening rounds?
Well, you know, it's a, like we said, it's a big course. They rerouted the course a little bit, you know, so the last few holes on the back nine are, I think it's what, 5 through 9. Well, was it 14 or 18, are going to be the final holes on the front nine and then vice versa. So the routing is a little different than what we've seen in major championships. You know, the shot that Y.E. Yang hit up and over the tree with the hybrid on 18 to beat Tiger, you know, that's going to be hole number 9 now instead of hole 18. It's a little bit different. I'm interested to see what the way the weather's going to play. It's obviously getting colder up in the north, and where this place is, it could be cold. That could be a factor for some of these guys. I don't know. It's the Ryder Cup. It's very unpredictable, and that's what I love about it.
Do you see any players from either side going in as favorites or going in and you're saying, man, I just don't like where they're at?
The guys that interest me, I think, the most are the guys on the European team. You know, you look at their six rookies, Andy Sullivan, Chris Wood, you know, Masters champion Danny Willett, Thomas Peters, Matthew Fitzpatrick, the youngster, and Rafa Cabrera-Bello, who we talked about a lot earlier in the year. I'm very interested to see what they do, especially Matthew Fitzpatrick being so young in making this team. I'm very curious to see how he does in the event itself, how he handles the pressure, and how many matches he actually gets put into.
He's one of the big wild cards there. As you mentioned, the rookies are a very interesting mix. Chris Wood is a very streaky player, but has played well as of late. And on the American side, you know, it's a complete unknown with some of these guys. Some of these guys played great early and haven't played well as of late. Ricky Fowler, as we mentioned earlier, hasn't really played great at all. And then you have Phil. It'll be an interesting dynamic to see how the captains go about pairing it, because we have a lot of major winners in this event, and including from this year, which was an odd major year in which the Dean has spoken, picked the major prediction Grand Slam, as I'd like to add. But it's going to be a very interesting thing to watch the captains early and where they seed these players.
Yeah, I would expect, you know, some of the pairings. I would imagine we're going to see the Fowler-Jimmy Walker pairing again. I would think we'll see Spieth with Jordan Reed, or Spieth with Patrick Reed. And, you know, there's some guys I'm interested to see. J.B. Holmes, you know, he was really, really good in the 2008 Ryder Cup.
I could see him with Spieth as well.
It's a great story to have him come back and make it back to this level after all the issues he's gone through for his health and to get his game back to making this team. I think that's a good story. You know, a guy on our team that I'm looking forward to seeing how he does is Snedeker. The last time Snedeker was on the Ryder Cup team was 2012. He had just come off winning the FedEx Cup championship, and the hopes for him were high. And for some reason, you know, the memory I have of Sneds at Medina is the very first set of matches, the 18th hole, it's his tee shot, and he just blocks one like 60 yards right. You know, they were all square on the hole. And to see him do that, I was like, wow, you know, this guy's just won $10 million. And look, he's very, very nervous. He's a great putter. I'm very curious to see how he does this time around.
One of the interesting things about Snedeker is he likes to play fast. And the Ryder Cup is notorious, and match play in general, for being a slower format at times. And so it'll be interesting to see how he overcomes that. Kuchar's a guy I just don't love in these team environments. Not because he's not a team player. He's a great team player. In fact, my gut feeling says he does pretty well at the table tennis game too, because he's quite the tennis player. But we're going to see how Darren Clark goes about the matchups with so many rookies on the team. I still don't see how the U.S. is the big favorite. I think, if anything, it's just a home field advantage. And if they are able to pair some veterans with some rookies like Sergio and Lee Westwood, and our guys, our veterans, don't putt real well, we could be in for a long weekend.
Yeah, we really could. I mean, even though they have the, you know, the six rookies, which obviously we keep touching on, or at least I do, you know, they do have some star power, like you say. You know, you have Sergio, Keimer, Rory, Justin Rose, Stenson, Lee Westwood. You know, these guys have been there before. Oh, and by the way, one of the rookies is the Masters champion. So they have the guys that have, you know, been there.
Who's been playing well as of late.
Yes, he has. So I don't know if we're the, you know, the hands-on favorite. Betting odds, I guess we are. I think it's the home field advantage. I think more of it is a belief that, you know, they want the U.S. to be favored. You know, they went through this whole task force thing. They picked the captain. They gave Davis Love another chance. He did a really good job at Medina. I mean, he had his team in position to win going into the final day, and it just didn't happen. I think there's a belief that the U.S. needs to win this to make that whole task force worthwhile. I don't think that's true. I think that's more towards the long run, but a victory is certainly going to help.
And as we've mentioned, it is home field advantage, and you want to take your home field win. Let me ask you a question, since we're talking about the Ryder Cup that's been brought up as of late throughout both the THP forum and elsewhere. Does the Ryder Cup mean more to the Europeans than it does the Americans?
I still think it does. And I don't think that's a shot at the Americans. You know, I really don't. I don't think – I do think that they care about it. And I get the impression from the outside that they're starting to care about it more. Again, maybe that's just my belief that I want them to care about it more. You know, I think back to Celtic Manor and Hunter Mahan crying at the podium, and, you know, probably the last time we saw Hunter Mahan. And, you know, him
those
crying,
hardware store commercials.
Yeah. I mean, him crying at the podium, and I think it was Mickelson saying, you know, you guys think that we don't care about this event, but this shows you that we do. I think there's just more passion for the Europeans. I think they enjoy being in that environment. They enjoy being together. And I don't think the stories of the team room are force fed. You know, I'm getting a little tired of hearing about the table tennis for the U.S. side, because it seems like that. It seems like that's all they have. Well, we played ping pong. OK, great. How about, you know, you go out, you have fun, you actually enjoy being with each other. They don't show that emotion as much as the Europeans do. Does that come across as them having more passion for the event? In my opinion, it does. It doesn't mean that they do, but it's not forced. I think what they have is real, and what the U.S. team has is kind of forced. So I'm kind of sick of the whole table tennis talk.
Well, I'm going to give you my take on it, not because you asked, because that's what I do.
I would like your take on it.
I appreciate that. So my take is a little different than most. And one of the reasons that I believe, and I don't just think it's the players, by the way, that care a bit more on the Euro side. I think it's the fans as well. But one of the reasons is what tour is bigger, the PGA Tour or the Euro Tour?
The PGA Tour.
Where do most of these players play the majority of their golf?
The PGA Tour.
So these Europeans come over and live here for 6 months to 7-8 months out of the year. And they hang out with each other. They are socially together, both on the road, because it's a newfound land, so to speak, and they bond. Our players don't do that. Our players are at a tournament, then back to their family, and so on and so forth. They got into golf. It's been an individual sport their whole life, and it's force-fed as a team sport every 2 years. And not that that's a bad thing. I say force-fed, and it's probably the wrong word, but not that that's a bad thing. They are patriotic. They do care about the country. They do love the Ryder Cup. It's just not as big a deal, and it's definitely not as big a deal to the fans. To give you a perfect example, we will see all kinds of people from Europe coming out of the woodwork for the Ryder Cup on the THP Forum that don't post at all throughout the entire year, because it's a big deal, and we welcome that. We think it's great. It's because it's a big deal to them. The Ryder Cup to the U.S. fans is a big deal when it's here, and then we don't think about it again for another 2 years. Now, whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, I can't tell you, but that's my take on it. I just don't think it's that big of a deal.
Yeah, it's, you know, I don't think it's a crazy take on it, to be honest with you. I disagree with it a little bit, but that's fine. I mean, we've both seen these Ryder Cups come and go. I do think that when it shifts back, you know, across the pond, that you know, the passion for it on our side from our fan base, you know, it weans a little bit. It's not exactly as high as it is when we're trying to protect our turf. So I understand that, the whole turf battle thing. We want to win on our territory, on our courses, and it hasn't been happening. And so maybe this is, you know, this is the year it does. We'll see. I do think that there is something more. You know, you and I are kind of agreeing on the fact that the European stuff, it's not forced. You know, they hang out together.
Definitely
they talk.
Not.
They talk a lot. It comes across as natural. And I do think that, you know, shows that they're more of a team, more of a cohesive unit. And that comes across as their passion for the event from the player side. And when you're talking about the fans, absolutely. You know, they want to win over here, maybe more than they want to win when it's on their home turf. Because like you said, a lot of their players play over here. They've come, they've lived over here. You know, look at Paul Casey. Paul Casey was a pretty good Ryder Cup player, a really good golfer. He doesn't even play on the Euro Tour anymore. You know, he got rid of his tour card. He now resides over here in the U.S., which he has for a while, and strictly plays the PGA Tour. Otherwise, you know, he'd probably be on this team.
Oh, yeah, without question. And there's a number of guys that still keep their card because they want to play in the Ryder Cup, but spend 90% of their time over here.
Yeah.
Now, one last question, speaking of location in the Ryder Cup and home field advantage, is Minnesota really part of the United States? It's pretty high up there. Are we getting towards Canada?
It's really high up there. Well, I mean, maybe we're looking for the help of Mike Weir. We can sneak him in and put him in if the course is closer to his
order. I
honestly
believe you earned more Ryder Cup points than Mike Weir did.
I probably have. Well, I think we're tied.
You probably are. Now, Before we go, we have a special contest. If you guys haven't seen the preview on social media or the THP forum, we have some Dean Has Spoken t-shirts made up. They're high quality. It's not screen printed. It's thread dye. Really well done. All you have to do is go to the forum thread about this radio show, and there's going to be three questions there. You're going to send in an email with your answers, and we are going to select a winner. Are you wearing your t-shirt right now?
I actually wore it yesterday, so I'm not wearing it now. It's in the laundry basket, but I wear it all the time. You know, the day that I got that t-shirt was the crowning moment for our show when Jimmy Walker won the PGA Championship. So I value that shirt a lot, and I can't wait to see who gets to take home one.
That is correct. The prediction slam took place. We were in San Diego, California. Actually, in that case, we were in Huntington Beach, California. We saw Jimmy Walker take home, which was your prediction. And you got your shirt. Now, one of our lucky listeners is going to win one as well. All you have to do is answer the questions, as we said, that's in the THP forum thread. And you could win a Dean Has Spoken t-shirt. How do you like that?
I like that. I like that a lot. And whoever wins it, hopefully they wear it with pride.
There you have it, gang. Another episode of The Dean Has Spoken is in the books. You can join us on the THP forum to discuss and debate everything we talked about here. And of course, follow along on Twitter at THP Golf and at Dean of THP. Don't forget to head over to iTunes or Google, or I can safely announce we are now on iHeartRadio, and subscribe to the Hacker's Paradise so you never miss an episode of The Dean Has Spoken on the T-Box or the Golf Industry Uncut, and leave us a review. We want to hear what your thoughts are. We want to know if you agree with the Dean, don't agree with him, agree with me, don't agree with me, or what your favorite THP radio show is. So for myself, and of course, Dean, we hope you enjoyed this special episode. Bye, everybody.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for golf.